photography. And he was very accomplished. He actually had spent thousands of dollars on equipment and just really did well as far as in amateur competitions. He was very well respected. I remember going to, my mother and I went to some of his, I guess they would call them just showings or viewings, and they would look at the different photographs, and it seemed like my dad's was always the one getting 4 stars. He just really, really did well at it. I remember as we used to go to New York City, and I, by the way, I don't like the city, amen, I'm still that way, but we used to go to New York City. There was camera places there. My dad could buy these lenses for next to nothing. And I remember he had all kinds of different lenses. He had a wide-angle lens. He had a panoramic lens. His favorite, I believe, was a telephoto lens. Now, of course, this is the days of photography. Now we live in the digital age where you can take a great picture with your camera, amen, or with your phone, amen. You got a camera right on your phone. But these were different days, amen. And he would use those lenses, and he would teach. He was always teaching. He would show different things, and he would say, you know, when you focus in on one subject with a particular lens, everything around it is a bit blurry. But that one thing you're focusing on, that's perfectly within focus. Everybody understand what I mean there? Amen? You know that's true if you're looking. If I'm looking right at Keith, Brother Stephen, thank the Lord, is out of focus. Amen? And Brother Jesse's out of focus. And Brother Don's out. You know how it is, how your eye works. Listen, folks, I want to talk to you tonight about looking through the lens of love. If you look in this passage that we looked at, you see that word love, 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 loveth, love, love. It's all over. Take a look for it yourself. It's 27 times in 14 verses the word love, loveth, or loved is used. And I want to tell you something. Part of the problem in the church of today is many Christians are not looking through the lens of love. They're looking through the lens of, let me just give you a few lenses we look through. They're looking through the lens of pride. Pride. You know what? Pride is still a dirty, rotten, wicked, stinking sin. Pride. Well, I would never end up as a drop-down drunk. Oh, really? Oh, really? Tell that to Noah after he got on the ark. I think he was one of only 8 that got on the ark, was a righteous man, and got off the ark, and the very first thing he did was he grew a vineyard and he got drunk. Listen, don't ever say, I would never end up that way. It's pride that's talking. If you say, hey, and by the way, you could say amen. If you don't say amen, it's still true. It's pride that's talking. Say, well, I would never stop it. Man that think he standeth, take heed lest he fall. Right. We're all made of the same stuff. Amen. So I think the lens of pride is, you know, the lens of selfishness. The lens of selfishness is really the sin of our day. It's the sin of this generation. Just, I'm going to get for me and mine and not care about anybody else. That's selfish. That's looking through that lens and just seeing self. I think of another lens that we look through. We look through the lens of envy. We look through the lens of envy. And we see people, and by the way, God cautions us against this in 2 Corinthians 10:12. He says, when we compare ourselves amongst ourselves, we are not wise. You know where I see this more often than anything as a pastor? People look at other people's marriages and they start making comparisons. Listen to me, folks. Don't do that. Don't do that because it leads right down the road of envy. And it's never a good ending, and all God's people said. Envy, the lens of envy. I think of another lens that we use, folks. It's the lens of criticism. Criticism. Just always being critical. Well, I wouldn't have done it that way. Well, you didn't do it. You were too busy criticizing. Isn't that amazing, folks? We used to say on a job, you could tell it was a critic's paradise when you had 5 guys standing around and 1 guy digging a hole. Yeah. Amen? Forgive me, must have been a state job. Amen? Listen, folks. God did not give you the ministry of criticism. There is no such ministry. That ministry is born in a place called hell. We learned about it this morning. Amen. Don't look at somebody through the lens of just criticizing and nitpicking everything. Don't do that. Amen. Don't do that. I think of another lens we look through. And it's a lens that affects everybody around us. It's the lens of bitterness. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, I've said it from this pulpit. Many other people have said it. Bitterness is like drinking poison and waiting for the other person to die. Don't do that. You look through that lens of bitterness. Have you ever seen, and I've shared this before, but I remember talking to people and mentioning a certain person's name to that person, and their countenance changed. You ever seen somebody like that? You mention a name and they go, I'll tell you what the problem is. Bitterness. Bitterness. And I tell you what, I wouldn't give anybody that kind of control in my life for 1 minute. Not one. You give it to the Lord. You say, Lord, you forgive me. Please, I don't want to be bitter. I don't want to look through the lens of bitterness. It'll kill you. And it'll kill your kids. It'll kill everything good. It's like trying to grow a tree and pouring bleach all around the roots. It's not going to work. Looking through the lens of bitterness. I want you to go back to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. And just look at a few verses with me. And we're going to do just a little bit of traveling. And then I'll get to the points tonight. 4 points tonight, Brother Hendershot. 4. Amen. Just 4. Amen. Running joke there, Brother Steve and I are going to have for the next until the rapture comes. Amen. look at if you would, Matthew chapter 7, verse 1. Now I know this is the popular verse of apostates and those that would live in lasciviousness, that would think that because we're saved, we can do absolutely anything we want. And by the way, I heard a black preacher say, Matthew 7:1 is the new John 3:16. He said, all this crowd loves this verse. Judge not that you be not judged. By the way, it is in the Bible. But I'll tell you what, you read this entire chapter, and you're going to find it's all about making judgments. Inspecting fruit. Come on now. But I'll tell you what you can't judge. You cannot judge somebody's heart. It's forbidden. So he says, judge not that you be not judged. For with judgment you judge, ye shall be judged. And with what measure ye meet it, it shall be measured unto you. It says, how you judge, you're going to be judged. And this is what I want you to see, folks. This idea of looking through the lens of love. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye? The idea of just a sliver in your brother's eye. You look and you, hey, look at that. He's got a sliver in his eye. But considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye. A gigantic tuba fork sticking out of your eye. And all you can see is that little tiny speck in the other person's eye. Or how will thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote that is in thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye, thou hypocrite. Jesus said that. Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then thou shalt see clearly to cast the mote out of thy brother's eye. You know, John 13, 34 and 35 says, a new commandment I run unto you, that you love one another. By this shall all men know that you're my disciples, that you have love one for another. We have a couple guests that are here tonight, and God bless you folks for being here. I hope when you walked into this place, you felt this is a place where people love each other. By the way, you can't fake it. It's not going to work. It's going to show up, amen. I think of another verse. 1 Peter 4:8 tells us to put on fervent charity. Colossians 3:14 says, above all, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. We preached not too long ago on the glue of the church. Can I tell you this? By the way, this passage in Matthew chapter 7, can I give you a little advice when you're looking at other people's lives? Work on us, pray for others. Work on you, pray for the other people. Amen. Because you know what? In case you haven't seen a mirror lately, you've got some spiritual issues too. By the way, you don't have to come to me and tell me what my spiritual issues are. I know all about them. Trying to work on them. Trying to deal with them. Amen. I'll tell you, what we really need to do is we need to stop inspecting everybody else like we're God's FDA. Amen. And start looking at people through the lens of love. Start looking at people through the lens of love. We mentioned it here in 1 John, back there in 1 John, 27 times the word love, loveth, and love is used. By the way, we learn in that passage, first of all, that love is of God. Aren't you glad? But one of the things I'm thankful for, and I've been thankful for during this season, is just the capacity to love. People in my life that I've loved, people that have loved me, amen. It's a wonderful thing to be loved. I'll tell you something else we learn in verse 8, that God is love. You know, we preached on the subject of hell this morning, and I want to tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. Hell is real. Amen? We learned that this morning. But you listen to me. Anybody who goes to hell will not go to hell because they are not loved. God loves every sinner. I don't care how deep down in sin you are, God loves you. Anybody that'll go to hell will have to go over the love of God. God is love. Love is of God. Oh, we keep reading, but really the clarion call of this passage is found in verse number 7. Look at verse number 7 with me, please. It says, "Beloved, let us love one another." Verse 11, at the end of the verse, "We ought also to love one another." Verse 21, "This commandment have we from Him, that he who loveth God loveth his brother also." What will happen when we look at people through the lens of love? What will happen? Well, number one, go to 1 Corinthians chapter 13 tonight. 1 Corinthians 13. The person who looks at other believers, and even lost people, through the lens of love, number one, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, which is the great love chapter in the Bible. Look at verses 4 and 5, please. We'll get to our point. It says there in 1 Corinthians 13, it says, "Charity suffereth long and is kind." This is talking about love. Amen. True love. "Charity suffereth long and is kind." By the way, you young ladies, listen up here. Not the point, but you listen to me. That boy that can't keep his hands off you, I'll tell you why. He doesn't love you. He loves himself. Because charity suffers long and is kind. What else does it say? "Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself up, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked." And these last three words are our springboard for this first point. "Thinketh no evil." I'll tell you, number one, if you're looking at people through the lens of love, you will think the best. You will think the best. That's my brother. That's my sister. Listen, don't come and try to spill some garbage about somebody to me. Listen, that's my brother. I think the best. They deserve that. Why? Because I'm looking at them through the lens of love. You know what that'll do? By the way, that's in Philippians. Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. "Think on these things. Whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are of good report, whatsoever things are virtue, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things." Thinking the best. By the way, this will help you in your marriage. This will help you in leadership responsibilities. If you got somebody that you're looking at through the lens of love, focus on their good points. We all have quirks. And all God's people said, except the visitors from heaven tonight, amen? Except the angels that are in the room. We all have parts of our personality that rub people the wrong way. I think the only person I've ever met that has probably never rubbed anybody the wrong way is Mrs. Harmon, amen? She's not here. She's in the nursery? She's in the nursery, amen? Serving God, changing babies. I don't think she's ever rubbed anybody the wrong way. But as for me, many, 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 many times. I hope when you look at me, you'll think the best. You say, you know what? Maybe our brother's having a rough day today. Come on now. Looking through the lens of love. Hey, maybe they just buried a loved one. Maybe something happened in their life where they're just not... That's looking through the lens of love. Focusing on the good points. Brother Ken Curry's right here, so I can pick on him. Amen. Brother Curry could say, you know what? Brother Curry doesn't do this, and he doesn't do that. But you know what? I'm going to tell you something. That's criticism. Brother Ken drives the bus every week of the world. Brother Ken changes these light bulbs and actually installs new ones too. Amen. By the way, he doesn't do that for the praise of men or for finances either. I'll tell you what, you look through this brother through the lens of love, you see a lot of good. And you look through every one of these men and women in here, and even the ones that aren't here, the ones that are here on Sunday morning, Wednesday night, let's look at each other through the lens of love. When you look through the lens of love, you think the best. And what you do is you focus on the good points, and you know what you do? When you do that, when you focus, just like with a lens, when you focus on those good points, you know what happens to the bad points? They get blurry. Where love is thick, faults are thin. Remember that. Write that down. Where love is thick, faults are thin. And the opposite is also true. Where love is thin, faults are thick. Show me a couple that's fussing and feuding all the time, and I'll show you a couple that has lost their love for one another. They're not looking at each other through the lens of love. Number one, love thinks the best. Number two, love refuses to be offended. If you're looking at somebody through the lens of love, love refuses to be offended. It's in Psalm 119, 165. I preached earlier on it this year. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Great peace have they which love thy law. Why? Because that person is looking through the lens of love because they love God, and they love God's Word, and they love God's people. And therefore, when that person comes to them and gets a little snippy, they refuse to be offended. It's not going to be offended. Let's just stop being offended. You know the easiest way to do that is to love that book. You love that book, you'll love him, and you'll love us. And we'll have a whole lot less problems. Amen? Refuses to be offended. Thinks the best. Number three. Oh, I like this one. Number three, if you're looking through the lens of love, you'll let go of the past. You'll let go of the past. Proverbs 10:12 says, love covereth all sins. I want you to go just to one. I've got two here, but we'll go to one. Go to Genesis 33. One of my favorite passages in the Bible. And it's really become that over the last few years. Genesis chapter 33. I read this story, and I promise you, when I'm in my Bible and I'm reading this story, I choke up every time I read it. I choke up every time I read it. You see there in Genesis 33, it says, and Jacob lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, Esau came. Just to background the story, of course, we know that Jacob had talked Esau, first of all, out of his birthright, which was an incredible eternal thing, not to be treated lightly. And he kind of tricked him out of it. Amen. And then he came, and Esau was coming in, and Isaac was getting ready to die. Their father, he was getting ready to die, and he was going to pass on his blessing. And Esau was supposed to be first in line, and Jacob and his mother Rebekah tricked their father, and Jacob got the blessing. And Esau said, I'm going to kill my brother Jacob. That's the last words that Jacob heard from Esau. I'm going to kill him. And of course, we know the story. Rebekah sent him away to live with Laban. And if ever two people in the Bible were made for each other, it was Jacob and Laban. Amen. Those of you that know your Bible know that's true. And Jacob served all those years, and he was married. And then he left Laban's field, and all of a sudden word came to him, your brother Esau is coming. This is 20 years later, folks. 20 years later, and all Jacob could think about was, he's going to kill me. Look, read it. It says, and he divided the children unto Leah, verse 1, and unto Rachel, and unto two handmaids, and he put the handmaids and their children foremost, and Leah and her children after, and Rachel and Joseph hindermost. He basically put his most precious things as far back as he could, and then himself. And he passed over before them and bowed himself to the ground 7 times until he came near to his brother. And I love this verse. You ought to mark this verse in your Bible. And Esau ran to meet him and embraced him and fell on his neck and kissed him, and they wept. They had a hug and shout and spell. It says, and he lifted up his eyes and saw the women and the children. He said, who are those with thee? And he said, the children which God hath graciously given thy servant. You know, I'm sure there were some days early on, Brother Horsch, that Esau thought, I can't wait to get that rascal by the throat. But you know, there came a point, whenever it was in that 20 years, that Esau said, you know what? This isn't worth it. It is not worth living a miserable life. I'm going to let go. You know, there's another person in the Bible who let go. His name was David. King David. Saul tried to kill him twice with a javelin. Okay? And then at the end of his life, of course, we know David and Jonathan were great friends. And you know what happened? Saul had a grandson who was lame on his feet, and his name was Mephibosheth. And he was in a place called Lodabar, the place of no pasture. And he was really out there going to die. And you know what David said in 2 Samuel 9:1? He said, is there any left of the house of Saul that I may show kindness to him? You know what he said? Listen, Saul, he's gone. I can't live like that. I'll tell you what happened. He looked through the lens of love. He looked through the lens of love. And that's what we need to do, folks. We need to look through the lens of love. Love lets go of the past. Amen. It is simply a lack of love that must hang on to past wrongs with a death grip. It's just a lack of love. Love. Looking through the lens of love. Lets go of the past. Refuses to be offended. Thinks the best. Number 4 and lastly tonight, go to Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9. Just a straight Bible message tonight. I've never claimed anything but to be a Bible preacher. Just preach the Bible, amen. The Bible's got enough in it. And by the way, it's got the power too, amen. It's got the power we need. Matthew chapter 9. And look, if you would, at verse number 36, please. Matthew chapter 9, verse 36. A very familiar portion of Scripture. Missions conference, obviously, this is a familiar point. But it says, speaking of Jesus here, but when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Looking through the lens of love, that person thinks the best. They refuse to be offended. They let go of the past. And I'll tell you the last thing that you will do if you're looking through the lens of love, looking at people, you'll see others' needs. You'll see others' needs. By the way, that's the only way. That's the only way that Jesus lived. That's the only. But it says in Philippians chapter 2, verse 3, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of other. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Why? Because he saw the needs of others. Our problem in that is we've always got our head down looking at our own feet, seeing our own needs. What we need to do is pick our heads up look at people through the lens of love. And when that person says something unkind, you know what? Maybe they have a need in their life. Maybe there's a financial pressure that you couldn't possibly know about. You get all snippy and you run to Brother Wigglejaw and Sister Long Tongue and say, hey, mm-mm. See each other's needs when you're looking through the lens of love. You'll see each other. That's what Jesus did. That's what we ought to do. Looking through the lens of love. Close tonight with an illustration I've mentioned before. The only class I took with Dr. Malone was a Shakespeare class, and we did the tragedy of Othello. It's an incredible study, really, really is. Dr. Malone loved it, and he kind of transferred that love to some of us preachers. He said, read this. He said, it will really speak to you. At the end of the play, the great character Othello, he is tricked by his associate Iago, who's a perfect picture of the devil. He's a perfect picture that his wife has been unfaithful to him. And she had not. She was completely virtuous. But he, through a series of circumstances, got him to stop looking through the lens of love at her. And he became jealous and bitter and enraged. And he took her and he literally strangled her in the play. Why did he do that? I'll tell you why. He stopped looking through the lens of love. When you love somebody, somebody comes to you and says, did you hear about? I'm not listening to that. I love that person. I love that person. Hey, that's looking through. You know what? We need more of that, folks. We need less criticism, less pride, less selfishness, less bitterness, less envy, and a whole lot more love. Amen. Looking through the lens of love. Father, we do love You tonight. Lord, we not only love You, but we love our brothers and sisters. God, You said, we can't love You if we hate our brothers and sisters. God, would You work in somebody's heart tonight? Perhaps there's someone that needs to deal with bitterness or envy or criticism or gossip, Lord, whatever it is, God, help us to deal with that with You and to look at people through the lens of love. Help us to get the slivers out of our own eyes. Help us to get the beams out of our own eyes and not worry about the slivers in our brother's eyes. We pray that You'd bless now. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed.